Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Calvary Chapel's Wednesday night service as we continue through the book of Revelation. We are actually in chapter 16. We'll be covering verses 8 through 11. So if you want to grab your Bibles and a notepad and a pencil, we will be able to get right into the Word. Now, what I want to do is give a quick review on where we're at and what we've covered so far. If you recall in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, John was in a trance, in a vision, and there in chapter 1, verse 19, he saw Jesus. And Jesus said, I want you to write the things that you see, the things that are, and then the things that are thereafter. Chapter 1 is the things that he saw right then, Jesus speaking to him, not just in a dream, but in reality. Chapters 2 and 3, Jesus shared with John the message he wanted to send to the churches. And as we studied through that, we saw that that message to each one of those churches had a threefold message to them. Those churches were up in the Turkish area, but they represented, if you would, over history, the church history of the church ages. Some of them overlapped, but the message was to that church at that time, a historical message to the church in history, and then the most important one for us is a personal application that we need to apply to our lives. Then in chapter 4 and 5, after these things, after the message to the church, John was caught up into heaven. And there in the throne room in chapters 4 and 5, we see what's going to take place right after the church, because that last letter was given and then boom, the rapture takes place. We are now in heaven in the throne room in chapters 4 and in chapters 5. In chapter 5, we see that there was a scroll that was presented and that no one was worthy to open it. That scroll turned out to be the title deed to the world. When Adam and Eve sinned, they gave over that title deed to Satan. But it was now being bought back if somebody qualified to pay the price for it. And the angel told John, don't weep, because worthy is the Lamb, basically. Jesus took that scroll. And in that scroll, we saw that there were seven seals that started to be released, opened up. You could go back and study each one of those, but what you need to know about those seven seals is that when they got to the seventh seal, then they opened it up and there were seven trumpet judgments coming down on the earth. But when they got to the seventh trumpet, you open that one up and there's seven bowls of God's wrath that's being poured out on the rejecting world. Now, in those bowls, we've studied some already, and we're going to be studying a few more. We studied 1, 2, and 3 already of those seven bowls, and we're going to be studying 4 and 5 that we find in our text today from verses 8 through 11. Verses 8 through 11. So let's go ahead, excuse me, and read verses 8 through 11, our text. Revelation 16, verse 8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Now in verse 10, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed on their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed God of the heavens because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. We're only going to look at these two tonight, but how sad that is to see the heart of man. Let's go back and reread verses 8 and 9, and we'll take a closer look at that, where it says, "Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory." Men were going to be scorched by the power of the sun. There's great heat that's going to come out. Now, how is this going to happen? Well, there's a lot of speculation out there. You know, somehow the ozone layer through global warming gets destroyed and the ultraviolet rays come down and they scorch. Or the fluorocarbon that is produced by aerosol cans and by cars' gas and, excuse me, but by cows' gas as well. And there's other things that produce those things that will destroy the ozone. Some project it might be a nuclear war. Some people think it might be a nova or a supernova of the sun. You know what that is? Have you ever seen those pictures of the sun and there's little flames coming out of it, and then all of a sudden a giant one comes out? Well, they're anticipating, and they have been for centuries, that there's going to be a supernova. Those are called novas, where there's going to be a great big giant one, and it's just going to wipe out our ozone layer, and it's just going to scorch men. But that's not my favorite one. You know what my favorite one is? That God just does it. God says it and he does it. That is, to me, the most favorite one. But what saddens my heart, and we can see that in man today, is that they blaspheme the name of God. Now, on Sunday, we talked about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And here it's talking about blaspheming the name of God. There is a difference between the two. And you have seen and heard many a people blaspheme the name of God, where they're cussing God out, they're swearing at him. Well, that can be forgiven if there's repentance. But the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that we talked about, the unpardonable sin on Sunday, is this, because all other sin can be forgiven except this one. And I shared with you that the role of the Holy Spirit is one, to be para with us, to woo us to the saving knowledge of Christ and be with us, to guide us. When we accept Jesus, that's the second part. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us. And what a blessing that is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's God living in you. Know you not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Your body is the temple, the Holy of Holies, that the Spirit of God dwells in. That's just an amazing thing to think about. And then the third one is where the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. We saw that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So there's three roles: with, if you accept him, he comes in you, and then you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said you'd be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days from hence. So we recognize those three things. Now, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Remember, I said that the Holy Spirit's main job here is to woo people to the Redeemer, to Jesus, to the sacrifice on the cross. And those people who receive that, their sins are forgiven. They've asked Jesus to be their Savior and their Lord. But there's people that go to their deathbed and they die without accepting Jesus. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, rejection of the wooing of the Holy Spirit to receive Jesus as Messiah. That's the rejection of the Holy Spirit. That is not what they're talking about here. They're talking about cussing God out. Now, why is that? It's because their hearts have gotten hard. Their hearts have become hard towards God. You've seen that in people's lives. I don't talk to me about God. What's he done for me? He's nothing. He's a nobody. If he is, I could care less about him, for he's done nothing for me. And they don't want anything to do with God. How does a person's heart get that way? And they don't have to act like that. They can even act like, I've got everything. I got all the money in the world. I don't need God. He's nothing to me. I'm self-made. I can do what I want, when I want. I don't need him to guide me. I know how to live in this life. I have all the pleasures of life, all the pleasures that I want to have. Their hearts get hard because they can think they can do it on their own. Their hearts get hard because some people fall into addictions. Their God, without them knowing it, is their drug, a drug of choice, whatever it might be. And why do I need God when I have this? And it's so sad. It's so sad that that takes place, that people's hearts can get hardened. But how does that heart start to get hardened? Well, it's by turning away a little bit at a time, one step at a time. Oh, you know what you're saying probably has some truth in it, but you know what? I'll accept him right before I die. I've shared this story with you about W.C. Fields. He's there in his deathbed, and a friend goes to visit him, and he's shocked when he walks into the room, and he's reading a Bible. And he goes, W.C., what are you reading the Bible for? I know you. And he goes, I'm looking for a loophole. Well, you know what? There are times that people will say, I will live my life, and at the end, I'll just accept him at the very end, because then I can go to heaven. But you know what? There are times in people's lives that they do not have the opportunity to accept Jesus as their Savior. Death, they could be sleeping and have a heart attack and never wake up. They could be in an accident and never know what happens. They don't have the time to call out. There's all kinds of ways that that could happen that they would not do it. So we here in life, we need to recognize that we need to be ready for the scriptures. As I shared yesterday, it's reckoned unto man once to die in Hebrews 9, and then judgment. So we need to be ready here by accepting the Redeemer, the work on the cross. And we can't just assume that when we get into a situation that we'll cry out to God. I remember a testimony. Some of you may have heard about it as well. It was a few years back that there was a plane crash, a commercial plane crash, and it landed, and people survived the landing, but there was in the cockpit and in the areas where people were seating, there was flames that started on fire. There was a big hole in the fuselage up above, and there was Christians in there and there were non-Christians in there. And some of the people that were able to escape, not all of them that were Christians escaped, but there were some people that were able to get their seat belts off and run down and from a seat, jump up and grab and either have somebody push them up or they just supernaturally pulled themselves out. But they give the testimony of running down that aisleway, and they saw Christians that couldn't get out. And they're praying to God, help me, Lord. I belong to you. Help me. And others are praying, Lord, I can't get out. I'm going to be with you. Receive me. I'm looking forward to being with you. In other words, the Christians were turning to God during that time, knowing that they were going to die. And yet there were other people who were non-Christians, and they were cussing God out as if it was his fault that that happened. They were cussing him, ready to die, ready to pass through this life and go into the next life. And they were cussing God out. Why? Because their hearts became hard. Their hearts became hard and they wouldn't repent. And that's what we're seeing here in the book of Revelation chapter 16. Just like that plane, we see that they would not repent to God. This is a consequence. And we have to be careful and share this with people, This is what happens when people love sin and put whatever that sin is above the Lord. Sin leads to a hardened heart towards God. Sin is not worth it. No matter what pleasure you think you can have in sin, it is not worth losing your life. How tragic that is. How sad that is when we see that. Now, we also see here, as we're reading along, as it talks to us, it tells us that there is going to be great darkness upon the world. Let's read through this again, where it says in verses 8 and 9, and then we'll go into 10 and 11. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl in the sun, and the power was given to them to scorch men with fire. And men who were scorched with great heat, they blasphemed me, God, and his name, who had power over these plagues, and that he did not repent and give him glory. How much better is it to give God glory now? I know I just taught on that, but I wanted to bring that back up, that we can give God glory now. And now look at the fifth bowl, where it says, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and the kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed on their tongues because of the pain, and because they blaspheming God of heaven because of this pain and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. It talks about darkness falling upon the temple of the beast and spreading throughout the land. Have you ever been in a situation where it's so dark you cannot see your hand right in front of your face? I know in most people's, they have little night lights, or they have a little light over here, or, you know, from the lights from outside, there's some glimmer of light. But there have been places that have been so dark that I have been in that I could not see anything. And I had to feel my way through that. Couldn't see anything. And it's amazing. Now, this darkness that is talking about here in chapter 16, this is not the first time that darkness, the event of darkness, is mentioned in the Bible. Get your pencil out. I'm going to give you some references right now, and you can go and read about them later on. One of the places it was mentioned is in Isaiah 60, verse 2. That's Isaiah 60, verse 2. Another one is Joel chapter 2, verses 1, verses 2, and verses 31. Joel chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 31. And then Nahum chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Verses 6 through 8. Now, because of this darkness, because of the plagues, and because of the pain that they were experiencing, they gnawed on their tongues. Gnawed means to bear down and to chew in the Greek. Biting down, and keep biting down. I don't want to get too vivid, but you can understand what I'm trying to tell you. The pain was so excruciating. They were biting down, and they didn't even know that they were doing it that much. And blood would just, well, you know what would happen. I don't want to get too technical on that, but the gnawing of their tongues, the pain and the darkness was overtaking them. I find it interesting. There's another verse to talk about the darkness. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 30. And this is what it says. And they cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here they're in 16, they're gnawing on their tongues. Here in Matthew, they're gashing at their teeth. They're biting down on them, literally almost breaking their teeth, if not breaking their teeth, because of the excruciating pain that they'll be suffering. You know, here in 16 and here in Matthew 25, that is a preview of what hell itself is going to be like, and what outer darkness is, the eternal punishment that will be taking place. It's not a pretty picture, and I'm sorry to have to share this with you, but you have loved ones. You have friends that are going to be going through this. And you may not like me after this study and sharing these things. I mean, I've been getting, you know how you have your likes and you have your unlikes. You're amazed at sometimes how I get unlikes for sharing the gospel because people don't want to deal with their sin, and it's sad. Or they just don't like me, but that's okay. Jesus loves me, that I know, quite because the Bible tells me so. But to review, here's a group of people who depended on, and some even worshiped the sun, only to have the sun turn on them, and they would gnaw their teeth. He goes, no one worships the sun. Oh, really? I needed to go up to Boulevard this last week because there's a cabin up there that there were some bees that were attacking people. And I was asked if I could meet the bee guy. And so he took a look at it and he goes, well, you know what? I can get my chainsaw and I think I can just cut that off right there, drag it over to my truck and drag him away. So we go over to his truck and we begin to chit chat as he's changing his chain on his chainsaw, which, by the way, he never was able to change. It was too short. He couldn't do it. So he used my chainsaw. And he couldn't get it turned off one time. So I went over there and I turned it off and the bees didn't like me and they started chasing me. I had to run into our little trailer. And as I'm running in, I'm getting stung on my hand. Boy, that didn't feel good. I can still feel it a little bit. But while we were talking, and that was a side note, as we were talking, he saw my hat that I had, the Vietnam hat. And he goes, you were over there? I go, yes, were you? And he goes, yes. And he says, he asked me where I was. I said, I was at the DMV and up north doing night raids. And he goes, I was down south. We never had any problems and none of that stuff. And I said, well, how old are you? And he goes, I'm 75. He goes, how old are you to me? And I said, and I'm coming to my story on why I'm telling you this. And I said, well, in August, I'll be 72, August 4th. And he goes, oh, you're a Leo. And I go, well, some people classify me that way, but I look at myself as under a different sign. What's that? I go, I look at my sign as I'm under the cross that Jesus died on for my sins. That's my sign. I'm under the cross. And he goes, well, you know, I believe there's many gods. And, you know, they have great benefits to us. And the sun, I believe the sun's a god. And the moon is a goddess. And the sun has so many valuable things for us. And it's there to help us and shine light and have things grow. And when I wake up in the morning, it's always there. And when I go home at night, it's always there. And then the moon comes up to guide me at night. And I go, well, you know, my creator created that and all those wonderful things you're looking at. He goes, yeah, but Leo, you need to know where you're at, because the Leo has the privilege and the position of sitting under the sun. And that's where your position is as a Leo. And I go, sitting under the sun is a privilege? I live in El Centro where it can be 120 degrees. I know what hot is. I don't think sitting under the sun would be that enjoyable to me. But I follow a God who actually has given me his personal signature that I know that the things that he says is true and I can follow him with all the confidence. He goes, you mean he signed something? I go, yes, in a sense, it's the Bible. And through prophecy, and I got to share with him prophecy. I knew I only had a little bit of time, so I shared with him the full thing about the Messiah, the 300 prophecies about the Messiah, that if you only took eight of a man in time and space and painted a silver dollar with it and threw it out there and stirred it all up in Texas. And I said, and you know, you're blindfolded, you, and you go out there and you have one chance in that entire state of Texas to pick that painted silver dollar. That's the odds of Jesus fulfilling only 8 of those, but he fulfilled all 300 of them. And the odds of that is supernatural. There's no way it could be just a coincidence. That is God writing his hand to say, and I gave him the, you know, Isaiah, where he says, I'm going to share with you things before they happen so that when they happen, you can't say that it was your God. So it was the God I follow signed the Bible, and I can believe in the Bible. And he goes, very interesting. I believe in God the Son and the goddess the Moon, because they're there faithfully for me. And I said, and my God's faithful to be there for me too. And so I purposed to pray for him from that time on. And so there are people, even to this day, that believe and worship the Son. It's not just made up. It's not just an old, you know, wives tell. And the saddest thing is about these people who are going to be in the tribulation period, the sun is going to be so intense, so hot, that they're going to actually gnaw on their tongue until they chew it up. But I think what's worse than that is found, and it's, to me, it's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. And it's the last part of verse 11 that it says, and they repented not of their deeds. Didn't say they repented of their attitudes. It said they didn't repent of their deeds, their actions. You see, they love pleasure of sin, and they kept doing it. And even though they knew that these plagues were coming from God, because remember, if you remember, they blasphemed God because of the plagues. They knew it was coming from him. So what makes a person repent? Well, when I say repent, they turn away and they turn to God. What changes a sinner's heart? Well, if you look closely in the scriptures, you look so often and you see the plagues and the judgments that are there, the heart of the righteous turn to God. But you know what? The heart of the wicked don't. But what gets a person to turn to God who could be classified the wicked? I think that answer is found in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, second part B, where it says, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth them to repentance. Knowing that the goodness of God leadeth them to repentance. You know, I think this is such a critical thing that we need to understand in our testimonies when we share with people. And all of you that have saved have a great testimony. We need to have in our testimony the importance of the goodness of God. You know, I can't tell you how many testimonies I have heard, and they share all the bad things they've done in great detail. And then they take the last minute or two and say, and then I heard about God and I accepted God and I'm a believer now, God saved me. But they actually, without realizing, are glorifying their past and not giving glory to God and the goodness that drew them. I think it should be reversed. I think we should share those intimate parts that we had that caused us to realize that we needed to be saved, and then talk about the goodness of God and how he drew us to him and his faithfulness and his love and his forgiveness and his peace that we experience as a Christian and continue to experience even as we walk longer in our walk with God. I think when people hear more about what God has done for us after, yes, sharing about where we were a little bit, and then talk about how awesome God is now, I think that turns their hearts because they desire to have more and more of what you have at that point. But you might be saying, I just don't know how to do it. I just don't know how to do it. Well, let me give you the greatest lesson of evangelism. One, pray that God would open a door that you could share what you know to be true in your life and your walk with Jesus. Now that might be that much because you might be a baby Christian, but you've experienced more as a baby Christian than non-believers have for their whole life. So share that little bit. And as you grow, your knowledge increases, your experience with God increases, and you get more and more experience. And if you're up here, draw from those wonderful things that God has done for you. So whether it's small or great, God has given you a unique testimony that will meet the heartfelt need of somebody else. And that's important that you understand that, and that you're willing to share that. And the way that you're willing to show that you're truly willing is say, Father, open the doors that I can share love with other people as well. And I promise you, God desires that all should be saved. So he's bringing people to us all the time. So let's make sure that we're ready at all times as well. Folks, God loves you. Ask him to bless you this week, would you? I do. Well, isn't that self-centered, Pete? Not at all. I ask God to bless me, because if he doesn't bless me, I don't have anything good to give anybody else. So I ask God to bless me with spiritual things and spiritual wisdom so I could be a blessing to other people. And that's so important. And I would encourage you to do that too. So what I'd like you to do this week is to pray that God would open a door and that God would give you strength to step through that door and share whatever it is that God would have you share with them. And as you do, you'll be so excited. You can't help but want to share with somebody else again. So get out there. Let your light shine.